All right, turn in your Bibles with me, please. We're going to go through a couple of meetings. And I didn't, you know, you guys, I'm following a paper sheet this morning, so you'll have to find something really quick fingers this morning. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read a few scriptures. We'll read verse 18, 27, and 28. 29, 30. No, I'm just kidding. We won't read that many scriptures, but we'll read. First of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:28, and we'll pick up some of those other scriptures. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. We'll start with that, and we want to encourage people. So this is a season where we begin to encourage the people that's been serving. You know, sometimes you're in the trenches and you don't know why you're working so hard, and it seems like there's no end to it. And then you can get fatigued, and you know, you need encouragement. People need to know why they're doing certain things. So all of us are called. God called every one of us to be part of his family, and to make a contribution to what he wants the family to do. I think everyone knows about being in a family and the requirements of being in a family. And if you don't behave, you know, dad comes out and talks to you. Sometimes your mom, and if not, you get grandma involved. And then if not, it's the police. So there's always... there's always somebody there. You know, if you don't, you know, how many God trains you at home? And if you don't listen to your parents, somebody else will train you. And God has put people over us so that we can submit to them, so that we can learn. So we learn about God by submitting to those around us. It's very hard to submit to God if you can't submit to someone. I'm not talking about an abusive situation where you have to make somebody threatens you, intimidates you, and pressures you. We're talking about a loving relationship. It's easier to submit to someone who loves you and is not deliberately hurting you. And of course, you know, you could do all the right things and cause people hurt because you don't always know your own behavior. And so that's why we have training having people to see what we do. As far as what our instructions, we want people to know what they are. So did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Let's go. I'm going to, kind of fumble around because I got my paper with me this morning, and I'm trying to go through a number of things from both of these. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Sometimes we have to look at things over and over. So, can we get that up there? Okay, so God has set some in the church. Notice that first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Now, there's so many things that we can talk about that scripture. And we're just taking that one word out of there, and that's called helps. And so we're going to look at helps. This is helps month. And the reason why we use that is because the King James uses that. It's serving. So we're going to look at that word helps in the church. God put that helps in there alongside of all those supernatural anointings that are in there. God has anointed that. You know, how many people would agree that the apostles are anointed? And all those other ones are anointed. Prophets are anointed. And we get excited about it. We said, you know, we got prophets so-and-so coming and events of so-and-so. Everybody gets excited. But then when we get one of the helps guys to teach, these people say, groan, oh, my Lord, what's going to happen? Well, you know, we have to have a different attitude about helping and serving. Only got one amen so far. But we're going to get there because we need to train ourselves. Everybody say amen. So I want you to help me out this morning, okay? Because I don't want to be up here alone. Okay, and then smile at me too. Okay. Anyway, teachers, how many would expect a teacher to be anointed and appointed by God? You don't want to just have, you know, somebody that doesn't have any anointing on them. You want a teacher that's anointed. You don't want somebody to put you to sleep and give you some rhetoric, some just philosophy without God in it. So thank God for all that. That's supernatural. And miracles. We're having a miracle service. We believe, like last time was our first miracle service last month. On our first miracle service, there was a greater anointing in here than we ever had for a long, long time. So because, why? Because we're believing God. We believe that people should get healed. We believe that people who are in the body of Christ that are sick, that we need to believe God. We need to trust God. Like, why would you allow someone to die if you knew some truth? If you knew something to help them, why would you let them die? And so, because we know that healing is available. So in this city, if there's any miracle services or if any healing services are going to happen, we're gonna put that in the forefront. We believe for that supernatural gift to flow. We believe God to move. So thank you. You know, we don't just hold that because we visit hospitals. I was at the hospital a number of times last week and visiting people who are very, very, very sick. And so we pray for people. We go in there and minister to people. We go to the different places. So it's not just, you know, right here. So we go out to see people because not everybody can come here. Hallelujah. Amen. So after that, miracles, then gifts of healings. Thank God for gifts of healings. How many people know that sometimes when somebody is deathly ill, they need more than a gift of healing to operate? So you need an extra anointing. So not every healing gift is going to heal a person. You need the miracle anointing to come in, to take over. You need the gift of faith to happen so people can believe. The gift of faith will happen. You're sitting there suddenly, and then all of a sudden you can believe. You know, that's the gift of faith. But if those don't work, don't worry about it. God's word always works. What if the Holy Ghost is not moving somebody? What if the Holy Ghost doesn't move? Listen, he always wants to move. I said the Holy Ghost always wants to move. So here's what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if the Holy Ghost is not moving, I move the Spirit. Well, how do you move the Spirit? You act on the Word, and he'll help you with the Word of God. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. So I thank God. So we need to get to the Word of God and believe and trust. When you start acting on the Word, the Holy Ghost is going to come and help you. And so we teach the Word, and God always confirms his Word with signs following. You know, Mark 16:20 said God, they went everywhere to the Lord, confirming the Word with signs following. That's miracles, healings, and so forth. So we're trusting God. So we believe that when we preach the Word, you know, how many people know you don't have to pray, Lord, anoint your Word. The Word is already anointed. You don't have to pray the Lord anoint your word. The word is anointed. Amen. So when we read the word and believe the word, anointing is there. The word is anointed. Everybody say the word is anointed. So thank God for the word. Right now, look at this. It says, ooh, look at that. It says, helps. Everybody say helps. Everybody say, ooh. Say helps. Say, ooh. You know, everybody say, well, who's helping? Who's coming? You know, oh, we get the helps team. Everybody say, ooh. Come on, say, ooh. Not boo. Ooh. All right? Okay, so thank God, you know, the helps minister, those people are the backbone of every ministry. Jesus had a helps team. He went around, you know, he had a helps team, you know. He tells Peter, bring that guy up here and go get that donkey. You know, fix that room up. You know, he wasn't just, you know, those guys had to learn something. They were serving. Jesus said, you know, bring that blind man over here. Bring that guy over here. What if they said, no, Jesus, you do it. You know, why do I have to get that guy all the time? Why do I have to pick up the donkey? Clean that donkey crap. Okay. And so we have to understand this is something we have to learn to do. All prophets, teachers, everybody has to go to school and learn how to operate. Their people are mentored into the ministry. So we have a mentoring program in the church. And so once we get you in, if you want to belong to the church, be part of the family of God, so you have to know how to act right. How to act right in the house. How to act right when you leave the house. if you're a minister in the church, I'm getting a little far to myself, but if you're up here singing music and all of a sudden you're dancing in the pub and you're on the tables going, "Woo! Woo!" on a Friday night, and you're fighting with your husband. And then you're on Facebook, and then you're coming Sunday morning. Oh, praise the Lord. No, we want you. We want you to conduct yourself in a fashion that's reputable. Amen. When I went to university, this is not church. This is university. When I went to university and when I went to the college, they told me as a worker, as a helps worker, as a social worker, you can't just go around and drinking with all your buddies on Friday night. Then on Monday morning, you're sitting in your office acting like, you know, everything's okay. You have to act respectable. Come on now. So you have to be able to conduct yourself. And the Bible teaches us that. It tells us in Scripture that outside of the church, we have to be reputable people. People that have lives that are moral and right and not illegal. So we need to teach that. What's wrong with the church doing it? So what we do, we have conducts. We have rules. That people say, "Wow, you know, rules." Yeah, well, you can have rules. Don't you have any rules in your house? You say, "Well, clean your feet when you come in." Well, that's a rule, right? And everybody that lives in your house, everybody has to pay rent. And if you buy your own toilet paper. I know you lived in one place, you have to buy your own toilet paper. So we have to have rules. And so there's rules in the house, and the Bible tells us that. You read the book of Timothy, there's rules in there. So now, what I'm saying here, the whole point of that last 15-minute discussion was this. Helps is an anointed calling that God has called and put in the church. This helps ministry is a big part of the church. And Jesus had a helps ministry. Paul had a helps ministry. Everybody that's in ministry that's doing something for God has to have support. So, if any organization, anything that's doing something has to have some, clearly defined mission statements, goals, and so forth, everybody knows where they're going. So, in the ministry, it helps in the same way. So, it says here, the first thing we need to understand about the helps ministry is define what the ministry helps is. And so that's what we're trying to do here. The Bible says that we are an anointed bunch of people called to the helps ministry in this church. And we're called alongside the offices, the rest of the offices, as we read earlier, to do the work that we're called to do here in this church. So anybody that's doing anything is a helper. So the word helps only appears one time in the New Testament, which we just saw here. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and we see it's a legitimate calling by God. It's no less important than other ministries. It's just different. You know, you take, for example, your own physical body. God uses the physical human body as a natural illustration of his own body on the church. You know, we are the body of Christ. We represent Jesus. We are put into the body. The scripture tells us we're put into the body of Christ, and there we function as the way God wants it to function. Now, let's go to verse 18 of that same chapter. Go back to verse 18. He says in there, "But God had set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him." Can you see that? Let's read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him." Let's read it one more time. "But now..." One more time, please. Okay, hang on a second. We want to do it together and a little bit more action, a little more strength, okay? Because use your outside voice so that people out there on TV land can help you, listen to you. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Notice it says that who did it? God did it. Who did he put the members? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Okay, so it says every one of them. Without exception, God had set you in the body. That's not just spiritually. that's also physically, naturally. God chooses where he wants you to go and attend church. He leads you by his Holy Spirit and says, this is where I want you to go. And, if you're keen about it, he'll lead you where you're supposed to be. And then I believe, this is what my belief is. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I believe there's people sitting in churches or sitting at home when they should be in some church somewhere. Yeah. And so I believe that they should be there because God wants them there. God put them there. And so, I believe God wants me in the city. God called me here. God wants me here. And he wants me to do a certain ministry for him. Now, I didn't always want to do that. I still sometimes have to have a hard time. You know, that Lord, I have my excuses too. And I still have to do it. Whether I have no money in the church, I still have to be here. I still have to do the work. Whether there's no workers, I still have to do it. So I'm called, so I have to answer to God. So I believe what the scripture says, that God put everyone together as it pleased him. If we take the natural body, we see that in scripture. You can look at it in scripture. That your ear, if it's placed at the back end of your side of your body, if you put the ear there, that's not a place for the ear to be. You know, some parts of the body don't fellowship together. Right? Because you're just different. But when you put it in the right place, there's great, great, great satisfaction and great enjoyment. And then you seem to flow together. You can't have an eyeball in the back of your head. What would you do with your hair? You know, you got nice hair. You can't have, your legs sticking out of your back. You know, if you say, well, you know, I think about putting my tic-tac leg out. You took your leg off and put it right here. No, God put it the way he wanted it. It says, as it pleased him. So God is pleased. God, where God wants you, he wants you. And I believe that's where you should be, whether you like it or not. It has nothing. He didn't ask you how you feel about it. He didn't say if you're busy. God says he puts you there. And so sometimes we don't like it. Growing up in the family, we don't always like what our parents tell us, you know. I'll just use myself because, you can use your own, how you relate to your own. You know, Sharon can relate to this. Turn the TV on Sharon. No, I'm just kidding. No. You know, Sharon can relate to this because, you know, I know she used to haul water. She can relate. Every time I talk about hauling water when I was a kid, she can relate to it. Joanne, too. I remember Joanne hauling water, washing floors at her aunt's house. Yeah. And before she made porridge, she had to go haul water. Well, she said, hey, you go get that water. Well, she said, no. Well, we all had a duty. Get some wood, whatever. So anyway, we all have our responsibility in the church to do what we're called to do. So, needless to say, the ministry helps is part of a system that has to function. Otherwise, something's not right. Something's not going to work in your physical body. If your stomach's not working right, you sure know about it, and we all know about it. And by the way, thank you very much. This couple here, they called us last week or the week couple of weeks ago. We had dinner together. 27 years. Stand up. 27 years of marriage. Turn around. Look at the people. Look at this is what. Yeah. Thank God. You know, and they were the first ones I married. Do officiate a marriage when I got my license, so I practice on them, it's still working. So thank God for it, amen. So thank God. So I had such a wonderful time. I went home to my wife last night and said, you know what? What a sweet couple. I really enjoyed being with them yesterday. Monique was smiling away, beaming away, and he's looking at her. 27 years. Look at what we got. Two dogs at home. They pee everywhere. I found out the dogs pee everywhere. Don't get more than two dogs, they said to me. But we're going to get more than two dogs. So there's lots of fighting going on if you get three dogs. Amen. Anyway, that's another story. So they don't have a ministry helps at home, but they are. So we have to understand that this is an office. We have to be part of a system. God has called us. Now, if you go to verse 27, so we see here that God calls you. God puts you in the office. God puts you in the church. He calls you. I believe he connects you. You know, some of you, whether you know it or not, God brought you here. God led you here. And you know, whether you come and go, whatever, I mean, if you come once a year, twice a year, you're still part of the body of Christ. God wants you. He loves you. He needs it. He wants to do something in your life. You know, I think about some of the miracles that have happened over the years. A lot of you have been here. You started with me many years ago, a lot of you, in the church. You know, I think about all these things, you know. I think about this young girl. Wave at me. This young girl, her dad called me out of the blue one time. I just got home. I had a hard day. How many people have a hard day at work? And this is how, you know, so I got home. And he said to me, the nurse talked to me first and said, you know, I have a young, I have a family here that their child is going to die. And we can't move her. If we're going to move her now, she'll probably die. She probably won't make it. So I went to the hospital. I told the dad, I said, Dad, I said, so I was kind of like, got my, I said, why would you want me to be there? So what, why are you calling me? So what am I going to do about it? You know? And the dad said this to me. He said, I believe the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, he's not a strong church. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit me. The witness hit me. He said, go. So I went to the place. The Lord said to me this. He said, tell the parents to let that child know about who I am. And so I went there, and I saw this little baby, this little girl, in an incubator. I saw her in there. And I told the mom and dad, and the nurses were looking at me, and, you know, you kind of feel intimidated. They're all looking at you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? I said, well, okay, when you're in the hospital, don't do that, okay? Okay. Now, she's a nurse. Okay, now watch this. Some of you are all nurses as well. So anyway, I went in there, and I said to you, I lit my finger in your feet. This finger worked. I put it in the incubator. I said, and baby, in the name of Jesus, you will live and not die. I command the life of God to go in you. And there she is after how many years is this now? 24 years. 24 years, huh? And God does it, right? He'll do it. And so we thank God for his miracle working power. Now, it wasn't, look at that Roma. He's so good. That has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be there. The dad's believing. It's not my prayer. Yeah, it's my prayer. Helping with the dad. But it's the dad who called. It's the dad who wanted. That dad, she couldn't call. She's a little baby. So the dad, his responsibility, I want to get help. I have no help in the hospital. So let's go and ask God. Daddy, God got her. She's here today. Praise the Lord. Amen? Yeah. That's wonderful. Glory to God. It's important that we have the helps ministry and to serve in the church and to help. You know, so many lives, you know, have been touched. You know, I think about your brother-in-law there, that was healed, his brother-in-law, from cancer. Given up to die, right? Given up to die. His brother-in-law given up to die. And she brought the prayer cloth to the church, and we prayed over here with you guys together. We laid hands. They said, the doctor says there's no way this guy's going to live. He's got cancer. He's in the last stage of cancer. And he was not here, but we laid hands on that cloth. We rebuked the cancer. We rebuked death. We command that he be healed. What happened to him? He lived, and he didn't die. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Amen. So we thank God. Lift that hand and bless God. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for miracles. We want to see more miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for the miracle power of God in Jesus' name. I love Jesus. I love God, man. I tell you, I told the Lord yesterday with tears the other day. I said, Lord, I don't care what happens in my life. I'm gonna teach healing. I don't care what happened. I'm believing miracles. I'm believing in the power of God to touch lives. So you just saw that the other day. I mean, I've been praying for other people who's been sick as well. The reason why I said that is because people out there need to know that there's a church and there's people who can believe and trust God. Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes. Okay? So, I believe in miracles. We can't wait for a miracle. Benny Hinn is not coming to Thunder Bay with his ministry team. He's not coming here. You got me. And you have you. And we're here. And God's here. And the Spirit is here. Amen? And so we trust God. We believe God is everywhere. And he can do the work, so we're trusting him to do the work. Thank God for it. You know, I'm talking about all this stuff. But this is good anyway. I'll have to leave soon. Anyway, so I want you to go to Acts chapter 3 after chapter 6. I did put on that tooth yesterday. You know, the dentist made a thing for me for my tooth, right? I'm always going back to that story because some of you always want to know what's going on with pastor's health. You know, I am 61. So thank God, eh? So now watch this. So they made this tooth for me. It's a little tooth, just small little tooth. And you saw me walk in with it, but I had to take it off as I'm eating those ribs yesterday. And so, like, this little teeth takes a whole pile of stuff in your mouth. Your mother couldn't even talk. Start talking like sitting in that Tony Roma's, felt like the Godfather there. So I went into the washroom, took it out. Okay. Yeah, I ate the ribs anyway. So anyway, I didn't wear it. I have it in my pocket. Just in case I have to take a picture with you. Okay. People, you know what happened to me? I want to tell you something. Don't laugh at me. Okay. No. Okay, you can laugh if you want. But I laughed at this man here. He came to work, and his front tooth was missing. Like this for a long time, I told him, you should put a chicken lid in there. And then I lose my tooth. So, Pastor Ken, I know you have all your teeth, but watch out. I think when I'm gone, he laughs at me. No. Okay, did you find Acts chapter 6? Okay. So this is very simple. I'm teaching very simple stuff. So even if you're 4 years old, you ought to know this. So Acts chapter 6, here is a beginning of this, a ministry called the Helps Ministry, because this was an infant church. You know, we can't just go back, I wish I'd go back to the old. No, we are more mature than these guys because we've been around for long. Like, you know, the church grew and developed. So it says here, in those days, I'm reading the King James Version, Acts chapter 6, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of the widows were neglected in daily administration. The administration is actually the word deaconing. You know where you get the word deacon? That's the word right there, deaconing, which is called the ministry helps worker. Deacon people. That's because of my tooth, see? The deacons are people, servants. They're, you know, everybody in the church, what I understand from Scripture, everyone, if you're a helper in the church, you're like, you could have a more, if you got more responsibility, you're a deacon. We're going to start giving little hats out. I said, who's that? That's a deacon right there. So identify them. No, we won't do that. But anyway, so the twelve multitude of the disciples said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. This was about serving tables. This was about serving people. This ministry helps is serving. We come here to serve people. And so, we try to do our best to do that. Now, we don't always have the right staff because, Sometimes, you know, if you pay someone, that's a good reason to be there. But you don't always pay people. You have to have a people who have a heart to say, you know what, I'm going to commit and I'll be there. I want to help those kids. I want to make sure that mama hears the word of God, and I'm working in the church, and the mom's going to hear the word, and something's going to happen to the mother, and they'll teach the children, and they'll help other people. And I know there's children's workers in here that has been working in the children's church. How many of you, lift your hand if you've been working in the children's church for quite a while. Lift your hand. Stand up for a second. If you work in the children's ministry, just stand up. You work 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, 5 years. Now, these guys are in the children's church on a regular basis. Let's give them a hand. You can be seated. Now, we have a whole pile of staff that's working out there right now. They're out there working in the ministry to help the kids. They know it's a ministry. They know it's not just, you know, these rats, we keep them here, you know, these rug rats. No, they know they're taking care of these kids. We trust them. We don't just put anybody in the working with your kids. There's a quality about these people that we want to make sure, which the Bible tells us to find. So it says in here, verse 3, wherefore, he's telling the 12 who were the original guys to develop this team. Wherefore, look ye among ye men. I want you to take a look around. He said, look around. See, you kind of look around. Yeah? That's what he's saying. Look around. Among you, 7 men of honest report. Everybody say honest report. So this is the beginning. This is how you qualify for the ministry of helps. Honest report. That means you're going to live a life that is integral. An honest report. So, and he says, full of the Holy Ghost. You know, somebody filled with the Spirit. Somebody who is joyful. Someone who loves God. They're happy. Oh, hey, bring your kids in here. Come on, kids. Not somebody like, you know what, you know, just dragging himself. I just got up here. Give me some water. You know? No, there's somebody who's just, you know, they look sharp. They're smiling, you know. They're not depressed, you know. I mean, I'm not saying if you've never been depressed, but you have to pull yourself up, right? You want to help people. You want to be pleasant. You know, it's hard to work with ministry that helps people who are not happy. You know, you know, you can tell if someone's filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you really tell if someone's filled? Yes, you can, because apparently that's what it says there. You can tell if someone's filled. If you're not filled, then you're going to go check in the mirror and see yourself if you're not filled. You know, look at yourself. Would you serve? Would you be happy to look at you if you were, you know? Be honest about it. Just say, you know what? If you're all shaggy and, you know, you look like you're half, you know, not there yet. We want people who can take care of the kids who's looking sharp and ready to go. They got their apron on, whatever. Shovel, whatever you're doing. So, anyway, he says, a man full of faith. So those are three general qualifications for people who will serve in the ministry. Ministry helps. So the Bible says, these guys will take care of the ministry. They will take the practical work of the business aspect of local church, and they're going to work with the practical stuff of the church. And that's why if Pastor Steve is always trying to fix the, like he did this morning, came in here, the place was all shut down. There was cold in here, right? And so he had to work at trying to get the, what do you do down there? You're doing something. No, don't stir. He says that he's probably drinking coffee and put his foot. No, he's green tea. No, that furnace was off. Before he could do anything else in the church, he had to try to get that furnace going. So he was like doing something down there. One day we came down there, they were swimming because the furnace went off. That was in January. They were Pastor Ken doing it back, you know. Pastor Ken, what are you doing? He's doing it, you know. I'm swimming, backstroke, and luckily it didn't freeze. So we had to come in and clean that all out, and Nathan came, and I'm glad he came. So we got him to do all the dirty work. Anyway, no, we all helped a little bit. I looked at them. So somebody had to give, you know, a little bit on the right there, to the left. Okay, so this is the thing, right? You know, if he's always doing that, then there's no room for other things. So we need people to work in the church. We need you. If you got a little bit of skill, we could train you. If you're interested in television, if you're interested in future television work, how long do you think I'm going to do Spirit Alive? Somebody has forever, but somebody's got to take over that. I'm not going to be doing that, you know, forever. Somebody's got to help. I'm not going to be there all the time. What happens? Like, you know, I'm 61, 62 pretty soon. So how long are we going to be a pastor here? Well, somebody has to pastor here. It's not going to be me. So somebody has to take over. So, like, you know, when I leave here, I want to make sure all that other stuff, that big buildings out there, you know, that Bible school's out there. And let's go. Okay. I said I want a ministry. Helps. Okay. No, seriously, you can help. Yeah. Okay, you can help. This guy here was one of my students at the school, and he followed me here. And I try to get rid of him. He said he thinks I'm the best thing. I said, yeah, you keep saying that, man. But he's a wonderful man. Yeah, I don't care what the devil said about you. I love you, and you love me, right? Yeah, yes, yes, yes. But anyway, so verse 4 of Acts 6 says that these individuals serve to free up the pastor or the workers there that need to do other things so they can concentrate on other things like prayer and other things that we do that are necessary for the church to function in the spiritual realm. Sometimes it's, you know, so we pray. I you know, I don't just show up here for Tuesday prayer. I study for it. I figure out what we need to do and figure out what God wants to do for that time. You ever try to find a message for God? You could just go to your old material and start teaching out of that, but you want a fresh stuff from God. You know, so we have a wonderful time here. I mean, how many of you have been coming to the, you've been coming. So these guys have been coming. We have a great prayer time. It's wonderful. It just makes you feel so good. You just go to sleep and thank God, you know. You're praying in your sleep even. Acts 6:3 says that these guys are supportive people. Now, we want to teach people how to serve people. Here's something that we need to talk about. In serving in the ministry, there's every once in a while you have to understand there's requirements for the health ministry. Amen. And there's also expectations. There's attitudes that you have to work on when you're serving people. You know, people are not always nice in the church. So you have to learn how to protect yourself with an attitude that no matter what, I'm going to serve you. If you're mad at me, I'm still going to serve you. If we don't get along, I'm still going to work with you. That takes growth. That takes some development. That takes maturity to not walk away from somebody because you don't like them. There's people staying away from church because they couldn't do that. So you know, if everybody did that everywhere they worked, you would have nobody going to work tomorrow morning. But because you're getting paid, you show up, even if you don't like your boss. If you don't like your client, you're there because you're getting paid. But in church, it's a different story. You have to do it because you love God. And you want to serve God. And you don't, you know, like last month, Corey and Julie, I don't know where they are, they're somewhere this morning. But I just saw Julie here somewhere. She's downstairs. And so they taught about how to handle offense. And so they had planned that months ago, to be there for that, to teach that lesson. And so we plan strategically. We call it leadership essentials because essentially this is what we need in the church to keep people on their toes. So if you're guarded and protected by a certain teaching, you're never going to quit. You're going to know how to protect yourself with an attitude. If you get an attitude, you're going to say, yeah, okay, you know, I was upset. Praise God, I'm ready to go again. You know? So we don't keep resentments. We don't stay in strife. We say, you know, let's get rid of that. I get this bad feeling on me. I want to get rid of it. And so we get rid of it. We don't have to stay a certain way. You know, just because you got hurt one time in church doesn't mean all churches are bad. Every person in church is horrible. No, you just got hurt one time. You get hurt at your home. You don't leave home every week. You show up again. So we have to learn how to work with different kinds of people. And we've been teaching on personalities, and sometimes personalities, you know, you have to work with people. You don't always understand each other. Even wives in here don't understand each other, and husbands. And so you say, you know, hey, that's fine. That's how my husband functions, and we don't, you know, I don't get upset. My wife, you know, when I first got married to my wife, I got upset almost every day. She's upset with me, you know. But, you know, we learn to work it out. And so, you know, you kind of get blinded a little bit after that, you know. But don't you get upset a little bit, Dave, with her? Yeah? A little bit. So sometimes we get along together. And so we have to work on this. That's why we have leadership development. And then sometimes when we have these training sessions, people miss out on them. They don't think it's important. We do. Why would we show up here for 3 hours every month? Why have I done it? I've done it since 2000. I've done it for 2000 every Monday night. I spend 3 hours here. No one pays me. I don't get a check. I just show up. I just come and help and make the church grow and help you know what the church is, because we want to make sure when people come here, they're protected. They're, you know, we straighten things out. If you're not acting right, we take you and talk to you about it. Listen, maybe you need to fix up your attitude here. And so that's, we try to talk to people. But a lot of times, sometimes people don't like it. You know, Hebrews 12 verifies that. So anybody who's corrected, you don't feel good about it. Well, I don't like this. Well, you're supposed to not like it. You know, and you ever notice that if you did something bad, if it has nothing to do with the church, and then you feel bad about it, oh man, I feel so bad about it. I wish I didn't feel bad about it. No, if you didn't feel bad about it, you'd still be doing what you were doing, and your conscience hurts you so bad that you go and make changes. You can't almost live with yourself. Every time you think about it, you just try to think about something else because you just want to get away from it. So we want to live honestly before God and say, God, you know, the opportunities you gave me, I'm there. I worked it out. And so, you know, I know in the church over the years we've had a number of things that happen, but we're still together. We still work together, and then sometimes, you know, things happen, and it takes a while to work things out. So relationship, right? And by the way, this couple here, stand up. These guys told me they're getting married. Bless you. And I told Mike, I said, Mike, I said, you were used to be in our children's church. Now look at you. Thank you so much. Yes, it's done. So they're getting married. Thank God that they found each other. They found each other in the church. Now don't leave church though. They found each other, in God. So having a healthy attitude is very, very important to stay healthy in serving people. I'm not going to teach about it. I'm just going to mention these things because we have to close here pretty soon. So this is how to, we said Acts 6, we talked about three things. Honest report. Say honest report. Honest report. Say full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Say full of wisdom. So honest report has to do with having a good reputation inside the church and outside the church. So I want you to keep in mind. So we're cognizant of that. We're on it. You know, we're watching your Facebook, your Instagram. Okay, so we're watching that. We just if something we feel is not wrong. So I have the authority as your pastor to talk to you, and to tell you stuff. Now, if I'm not your pastor, you let me know, then I'm not going to talk to you. If you just attend here, then fine. Then you know what I'm saying? I have to talk to you. Say, listen, you know, we need to talk a little bit. So that's what we have to do. So we want to make sure we're training people in godliness and honesty. So it says reputable, which is honest report, means a good reputation inside the church and especially outside. So we want all our workers to have that quality. That's in the Bible. We can show you more scriptures, but we don't have time. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost means, you know, you have, you know, you're so full that scripture said that's a requirement that everybody be filled with the Spirit, that, you know, you don't, the Spirit will help you, insulate you from different things. Your attitude, your strength, the strength of your life. He's the strength of your life. Well, we could talk about that another time, but full of wisdom. You're full of God's word. You know how to handle relationships. Full of wisdom is talking about you know how to deal with the word and apply that to every part of your life. You know, so we expect you to pay your bills, not getting kicked out next week at your apartment or your home. Pay your bills. Pay your, you know. So when we talk to you, you say, you know, I'm going to Faith City Church, and you're acting real crazy. Is that the kind of people you're building? No, we want people that are honest. We want a church that's honest. You expect that from me. You expect that from them, this leadership team. So let's expect it all together. We're all in the same boat. And so we're all called, you know, and Pastor Steve is going to talk about this, that we have different kind of gifts. Romans 12:6 says, every one of us, we have different kind of gifts. Romans 12:6 says that every one of us we have different giftings. We have different personalities. You know, we're talking to different ones, you know. We said that Psalm 100 says, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I know some of you are have a hard time with that, but I'm not God, right? That's what the Word of God says. Everybody praise me. I can show you so many scriptures that talk about in the congregation and before your children, praise me. Let them all say so. Let them shout for joy. And yet, you wanna fight against it. Say, you know what? No, it's not my personality. Well, it's not. If you can't do that, there'll be other issues that you have a hard time with. When it comes to your healing, when it comes to other things, that'll affect that. It goes to other areas. It goes to, you know, different areas with depression. It affects you in the area if you're attacked spiritually. It's good to learn how to praise because you get rid of devils really quick if you learn how to praise. Yeah? So you know, we have to see that the Word of God is applied to all of us. Now, I understand this, that, you know, you might not be exuberant as another guy, but you still can lift your hands and say, praise the Lord. Right? You know? And so some people are a little shy. So, okay. Just hang out with somebody louder and let him do your praising. A little bit, you know, a little bit louder. So, Apostle Peter says, 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one of us has a gift that God has given us, that we should use this gift, apply this gift wherever God has called us. You know, so since all the staff have dogs, we need a new department. A new department. Anybody want to work with dogs? No? Anyway, no. So we have to create some other areas for the dogs. So that's your department. So, we want to encourage you this month to listen to some of the stories we have, some of the things that we're going to have as far as the helps team is concerned. You know, every one of us should be able to contribute three areas. And Pastor Steve will cover this again, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. This is 1 Peter here. We can go to the next one. So, stewards, I want you to notice one here. From the whole body, fitly joined together. So, it's when we join together that becomes effective. If you're on your own, this is not effective. So, compacted by which every joint supplies. Everybody say every joint supplies. I could say something here about Trudeau, but we can keep it to church. Every joint supplies. The effectual working of the measure, every part making increase. This doesn't sound right to me. This is King James. I don't know what he's talking about. This is like talking Greek to me. Sometimes, so I have to look at other versions. Let's get another version. Let's find a more friendlier one for everyone here. We're all from Suckle Creek. Okay. New Living. Let's try New Living. We like New Living. Okay, so he makes the whole body fit together. So who does that? So. You know, he does it, right? Each part does its own special work. Everybody say, I have a special work. Okay. So as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. So when part of the body of Christ spiritually in the church is not functioning, then it puts pressure on other parts of your body. You ever notice that? If you pull part of your body and you walk in, then you compensate for other parts of your body? Right? And so you try to compensate, and you don't feel that good. It's uncomfortable. So we want to make sure that you're doing your part. Okay, so, and we'll try not to get bad attitude because we're doing all the work. You know, feels like, well, why do I have to do that? Well, you happen to be here. So, you know, but we're having a good attitude, aren't we? Yeah. We are. You know? So we're not down on anybody. We're just saying that, you know, hey, if you're not in part of that team, let's get involved. Let's do something. Let's join in. Amen. How many of you are going to join in? Okay, so even if you're, you know, because some people say, well, I don't work with children. Well, try one time. Maybe you'll love it. You know, so I got kids at home. I don't want to work with kids. Maybe you'll love it here. There's a special anointing here. Praise God. I'm going to try to get Robbie. Robbie was racing with the rest of the guys to how many children they'll have. But you guys gave up, right? Mr. Segan, remember Steve Segan? Man, he won the race. I think, how many got... He's got five, plus he's got other ones, right? No? No, I mean, he didn't have any extra keeping kids, no? So he's got six children. How many of you have more than six children at home? You're going. How many of you come from a home you had more than five children? Let me see your hand. See, all these guys, it don't happen like that no more, right? See, that's way back, you know. Back then, they tell you, like, you know, go ahead, make some more family, make some more children, you know. But now, you know, it's not the same anymore. So, all right. I just wanted to share that one scripture with you, 12:28, it's a place. And I just shared those other things with you as extra. Say extra. I'm not going to charge anything for it. Eh? You owe me, okay. Praise God. Well, don't we love the church? We love Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's going to be interesting in the next few years what God's doing. I want to thank God for putting us in the city together with other churches. We're going to trust God. We're going to work with other churches in the city. Continue to work with the pastors that we've been working with. Joining them, we're going to have more joining together. I was been invited to possibly next year, rent out a larger facility with other churches joining us. And we're going to need you to help out. We need more workers, singers, songwriters. We want to write our own songs. You know, we don't want to sing all these other songs. We want to sing our own songs. Some of you have songs in your heart. You can write your own songs. I believe we should have a viable music department that's affecting our nation. We have enough singers and songwriters. We got to mobilize them. Musicians. Oh, hallelujah. I can't play any instruments. I know three chords. But I believe I can learn more. How many believe I could learn more? I want to start singing. I can't sing. With that team, I try to sing with the team. There's no way I can't sing. I just can't seem to get in the right key. I'm so, so low. I can't sing. But I'm going to try to do my best to join the music team if they'll let me. You think they'll let me? Yeah. Yeah. And I try to drum. They won't take traditional drum. They take this only. I go, that's not the right key, Roma. Not the right key. You know. But we should. You know, we should allow. Praise God. And no Scottish music. No, we're going to have a great time. I believe this is a turning point for us. We believe there's more for us. We want to affect our city. We want to grow. We want to affect the high schools, the colleges, and go in the workplace and be a part of this city, to be a leader in this city as a church. They want to say, hey, that Faith City Church is helping our city. Amen. We're going to make notice that we're here. We're here for Jesus, lifting up the banner of Jesus. Amen? We want to devote ourselves. Let's pray a prayer of devotion to God and whatever He wants us to do. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. If we can have the music team, that would be great. Every time the service is over, if you can make it, let's do it. Let's do it in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you today that we heard about the health ministry. It is a viable ministry that you've called us to. It's the best place to be. Where you want us to be, that's where the best place for me. Thank you this morning as we give our hearts to you, as we lean and say, God, I want to just turn my will and my life over to you. I'm saying to you, Father, your will be done. I'm consecrating my life to you. I'm dedicating, I'm rededicating my life to you. I'm submitting to your will and your plan for my life. I believe that I am in the best place. Standing here is where you want me to be this morning, to hear this simple message, just to exhort us to take part. Thank you. I thank you for all the supply and all the provisions that you've made beforehand. You said a 139th psalm that you knew me when I was in my mother's womb. And you called me by name. And all that was written in heaven about me is in that book. And that everything, you said, Psalm 138, verse 8, you said everything about my life, spirit, soul, and body, that I'm concerned about, you're concerned about. And that you will perfect that. You will make sure the plan of God, your plan, your purpose, your will come to pass in my life. Your plan is being effected right now as I submitted my life to you. And I thank you, Father, that my healing and the finances and the mentality has been restored. Thank you that I'm well. I'm healed. I thank you. I'm justified. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Lift up that hand. Praise God. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I want to thank you. You are so wonderful. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed God, forever. Those of you that not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you're in this room or you're watching on live stream, if you say this simple prayer, the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you just say, God, I'm coming to Jesus. I give my life to you. I don't care where you are, what you've done. God loves you, and he wants you to come home. He's made a plan for you. He's prepared a place for you. And there's some good people waiting for you. As soon as you give your heart, someone is going to be right there to help you. I want to thank God right now. I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus, if you're there right now. My faith is aimed at you right now. Yes, you. And I'm praying for your deliverance from alcohol, from demons. I'm delivered. Say, I'm delivered. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Say, I'm saved as I call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bring forth laborers. Send someone to those people right now and make a way for them in the name of Jesus. Do we have a song coming? Something in your heart? Woo!